We are certainly thankful for the blessings that we've enjoyed in this service. And certainly the Lord has been good to us. We felt His presence. And boy, that was an able defense of what we believe. That was very, very good. I enjoyed that very much. And if you're going to believe the truth of the Bible as concerning our salvation, Romans 9 is the place to go. Because the first thing you have to come to grips with is God's sovereignty. And God is sovereign and does as He pleases, has mercy on whom He has mercy, and compassion on whom He has compassion. And you have to start there or you won't get the rest. And certainly we have had been blessed to hear about that this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 3. I'd like to begin reading in verse 4, Philippians 3, verse 4. It says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Verse 7. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Apostle Paul here tells us about how, naturally speaking, he could have confidence in his flesh, confident in his own ability, his own upbringing, who he was, and what he did. And he had that opportunity. He had everything going for him. Life was going just right. But a change took place in Paul. And that change took place as a result of Christ. And so now his perspective is completely changed. And I pray that our perspective would match the Apostle Paul's. That he says in the first chapter, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's his perspective. To me to live is Christ. Verse 7 here in chapter 3 says, what things were gain to me. They were so important to me. I dedicated my life to these things. They were what I wanted, what I believed in, what I trusted in, my career path, my motivation for life. All that. It's gone, and he counts those things as a loss for Christ. But notice here in verse 8, and this is what I'd like to look at for just a few moments. He says, I count all things, everything, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Notice he counted everything as loss, a waste of time, not worth his attention, in comparison to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. I don't know how much time all of us have left on this earth. But the time that we have left, we could learn some new things. We could learn some things. If you're young, you got your life ahead of you. You could learn something at college like I did. You could choose a career path. You could choose an interest. You could choose a hobby. There's so much knowledge that could be learned. But Paul tells us here that the best knowledge, the most excellent knowledge that you could spend your time learning is the knowledge of Christ Jesus, your Lord. Lord means ruler. Your ruler, your sovereign ruler is Jesus Christ. And your time is best spent learning more about Jesus. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Peter says that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the last that we hear from Peter in the second book of 2 Peter chapter 3. He says we need to be growing, and all of us need to be growing. We need to be growing in the ways that Peter tells us we should be growing. We need to grow in grace. You know, God's been so gracious to us. You know, Brother Joe was reading there Ephesians 1 where it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace. You know, someone will only, you know, getting back to what Brother Joe said, there's two things that we really need to know in order to fully embrace the doctrine that we have and enjoy the blessed assurance we have in the church of God. One is the sovereignty of God that we've already mentioned. But the other thing is the depravity of man. The only way you're going to praise the glory of God's grace is if you understand the depravity of man. If you understand what a sinner you really are in the sight of God. How wicked you really are in the sight of God. That your thoughts are corrupt, your words are corrupt, your deeds are not what they should be. That you're a sinner in God's sight. Until you recognize that fact, you won't praise the glory of God's grace. But God's been so gracious to us, we ought to be gracious towards others. You know, that's one of the disappointments of last year, is the lack of grace towards people that don't think like you think. Like people might be different from how you are. We ought to be gracious and merciful towards one another. We ought to be full of grace and compassion towards one another. Because, after all, you and I might think differently on some things. But here in the church, we can get along. Why is that? Well, I was reading an article Elder Joe Holder wrote, published on Facebook, about two of Jesus' disciples. One of them was Matthew, who wrote the gospel according to Matthew. And he was a tax collector, a publican. And then the other one is Simon Zelotes. Zelotes, that meant he was a zealot, or however you pronounce that. That means he was zealous. He was against government. So here you have Matthew, who is working for the government, collecting taxes. And then you have Simon, who is anti-government and would try to destroy the things of government. Now, how are these two brethren, a disciple of Jesus Christ? Did they fight whenever Jesus wasn't looking? Were they getting into a political debate with one another? I don't believe so. Brother Job said that. He didn't believe so either. There's nothing in Scripture about that. But I'll tell you, when it comes to you and I here in the house of God, what is the most important thing? What is the most excellent thing? It's the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Everything else is a distant second to Jesus Christ in His knowledge. You know, when it comes to you and I considering what we should put as a priority, Jesus has already told us that in Matthew chapter 6. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What should be first in our life? I love America. I enjoy the freedoms and peace that we have here. But I'm going to tell you what we're doing today. And what we're living and laboring in the Lord's kingdom is far more important than the government of the United States of America. Now, I will not turn my back on this country. I went serving in the military. I love this country. But I'm going to tell you, it is a far more inferior thing than the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the most important thing. I enjoyed studying engineering in school. I enjoy learning about different things. I have the personality that I have a hunger for knowledge. I come by it honest. My mom, if you sit her in front of Jeopardy, she will know just about every answer to every question. Why does she have all that knowledge? Why does she know all that stuff? Because she has a hunger for knowledge. I love learning new things. But I'll tell you the thing that I want to learn the most is the knowledge of Jesus Christ, because that's the excellent knowledge. When I find in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus tells us, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'll tell you, when it comes to what you and I do, when we join the church, you know, we shouldn't just get baptized and then never come back. That's not the end of the story when you're baptized. That's the start of your journey. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The whole rest of your life should be dedicated to learning of Jesus Christ. There is no greater knowledge for you to have than the knowledge of Jesus Christ, because He saved you from your sins. He gave His life for you. He paid the price. He bore your burdens. His life He gave upon the tree. We sang those words this morning. He came down from glory. Didn't have to, but He loved you that much. I want to know more about that love that would bring my Savior from glory land down to this old sinful world for my sins and for yours. I want to know more about that. I want to know more about His occupation. He's a prophet, priest, and king. Now, this is where you lose some people. You know, I remember I've shown my wife some of the things that I do at work, and you want to get someone's eyes to gloss over, you start telling them about your work. You start getting them, I got a master's degree, and I was writing a thesis, and I got my wife to read it. She said, "This is like reading Greek to me." I'm not really that interested in this, you understand. Well, you get around some of the Lord's people, and you start talking about the order of Melchizedek and him being a high priest. You start getting into that. People start falling asleep on you. But I'll tell you, when it comes to you and I, our Savior, our husband, I want to know about what He's done, His occupation, His works that He's accomplished. I want to know what He's doing right now. I want to know more. I want to know Him. Notice what He says here in verse 9. Paul says, "And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith," verse 10, "that I may know Him." Want to know Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. Brother Danny prayed in his prayer, if anyone has any problems, that the Lord would send them a message. That's my prayer for God's people, that you'll come to the house of God and hear from the Lord Himself that directly addresses your needs. That's what the miracle of the gospel is. Such a blessing. But I'll tell you, in 1 Corinthians, that whole book, you go read about all the problems that church had. That church suffered from preacher worship. That church suffered from fornication. That church suffered from members of the church suing each other. That church suffered from idol worship problems. It had all kind of problems in that church. But you know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2? "I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You know what will solve your problems? It's for you to run to the cross. Flee to the cross of Jesus Christ. You go to that cross and you're going to see, as that song says, "When I survey the wondrous cross, sorrow and love mingle down." Sorrow and love. You'll see sorrow there. I'll tell you, that's been my experience in the Old Baptist Church. I have sorrow for my sins. Oh, give me, Lord, my sins to mourn, my sins which have Thy body torn. Oh, there's sorrow when we look at the cross, but there's love there. Why did our Savior go to that cross? He said, "I could have called more than 12 legions of angels to come and rescue me," but He didn't do it. I want to know why. Why? Because He loved us. He was not going to shirk away from what He came to this world to do and to save us from our sins. He loved us. He loved us. And that's what kept Him on the cross. Notice what they said to Him when they mocked Him. "Oh, if you're really the Son of God, come down from the cross and we'll believe you." Oh, time had passed for that. He had given them enough evidence of who He was with all the miracles that He did. They should have believed Him. But they didn't. Even if He came down from the cross, they wouldn't believe Him. "Oh, come down from the cross and we'll believe you." What kept Him on that cross? His love for you and I. That's what it was. I'll tell you, Paul says, "I want to know Him. I want to know Him. And the power," this is verse 10, "and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." Paul says, "I'm willing to suffer with Him. Fellowship of His sufferings." You know, Brother Joe mentioned, we may not always understand why things happen. Why are we suffering? Why is this going wrong in my life? Well, let's think about that for a moment. We were studying the life of Joseph with our children last night at home. And it says there in the book of Genesis that Joseph, when he stood before Pharaoh, was 30 years old. He had become in charge of all of Egypt at the age of 30. And he was given a wife and he had children and things were going well for him. But if you back up to when he was 17 years old, that's when things really started to go south in his life. And for 13 long years, he was betrayed by his brethren. He was sold into slavery. He was put into prison by false accusation. He had suffered for 13 years prior to that time when he was 30. We may say, I don't know why things are going wrong for me. Why isn't the Lord helping me? Well, the Lord doesn't operate on our time schedule. The Lord doesn't do things the timing that we may like. He does things in His own good time. You remember that time that Jesus came and healed a woman that He said Satan has bound her for 38 years with this affliction. And then He healed her. Can you imagine dealing with an affliction for 38 years before the Lord heals you? Or could you imagine being like Joseph, waiting 13 years? You know, we live in a society, we want something done right now. I'll tell you, Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, if you do well and you suffer for it and you take it patiently, that's acceptable with God. God expects us to be patient, to be long-suffering, and to just wait to see the salvation of God. You know, Moses and the Egyptians experienced that at the Red Sea. Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of God. You know, they had been in bondage there in Egypt for 430 years. The United States of America hadn't even been in existence that long. They were in bondage in Egypt for 430 years. What is a month? Or what is 2020? 1 year? What is, you know, our light affliction is really nothing compared to what we see others have faced. Lord, help us to spend our days, spend our time not wasting it, but seeking to know more about Jesus. We're going to finish here when he says, I'm going to read real quickly, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul's a pattern for us here. He says, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. You know, when we were studying Joseph last night, he had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Manasseh means forgetting. Ephraim means fruitful. And Joseph said in naming his firstborn son Manasseh, the Lord has blessed me to forget all my toil, all my struggles, and he's blessed me to forget about my father's household. He's forgotten about what his family did to him. And then his secondborn son is Ephraim, fruitful. And I'll tell you, if you want to be a fruitful child of God, you, like Paul, need to forget about some things. All the bad things of your past that someone said to you or did to you, forget about it. Let it go. Remember the good things, but forget about the bad things. If you want to be fruitful, if you want to be like Paul, press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that's what you'll have to do. You know, I've watched the weather a few times, and I've seen those weathermen get it flat wrong. I remember one time we were headed fishing years ago, and yes, the sun was shining, but the forecast said 100% chance of rain. And we just kept saying that, 100% chance of rain. Boy, it's rough, isn't it? Well, I have never, and maybe you have, I have never heard a weatherman apologize for getting it wrong. Have y'all ever heard a weatherman, I'm so sorry, we messed it up. I've never heard that. All they're ever doing is telling you what's coming next. 7-day forecast, 10-day forecast. They're always forward-looking. And I'll tell you, a child of God needs to be pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, looking forward, not looking back. Forget those things and press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. May the Lord help us to do these things and seek to know more about Jesus. I thank you for your good attention this morning.